Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom Yehudim, shalom Bnei Noach, shalom Goyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio program named for the book of the same name that skewers this generation's version of anti-Jew aggression that accuses us of having stolen Palestine from the putatively Paleolithic Palestinian people. And never mind, history contains no evidence of such a nation ever living here, let alone one with rights to an independent state in this land promised to the chosen people. That's us, the chosen people. Anti-Jews think this means Jews see themselves as better than others, when it does not mean that at all. It means chosen to bear and spread the word of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, David, Shlomo, Yirmiyahu, etc. And why was this people chosen? Not because they were better than others, though arguably their matriarchs and patriarchs were, the Torah says as much. In fact, a couple of times in the Sinai wilderness, God seems ready to kill this people because of their normal human tendency to sin, and like Adam and Eve, their failure to obey God. Whatever our origins, it's the separate character of the Jewish people that today's ruling class in Israel continues to reject. The secular Zionist movement that created this state was most certainly bent on creating a non-Jewish Jewish state, a non-religious state, but a state for de-Judaized Jews who recognized and accepted as equals in other lands, but did think that if they created a society like that of the Gentiles, this would solve the problem of so-called anti-Semitism, which, because they were so de-Judaized, they never recognized as just the same old hatred in a new format. Our focus in today's podcast is the traditional leftism of Israel's army, which should surprise today's anti-Israelites who suffer from the delusion that Israel is a racist, fascist, and militaristic society, when in fact our army brass have always been the least chauvinist of Israeli institutions. The army here was the product of social democrats who, while relying on the Jewish Bible for validation as a legitimate political movement, in reality, the Israeli left that has dominated the army is the first institution in the country that is ready to part with Judea and Samaria because they have no spiritual attachment to it. Because they are military men, they have brains to know Israel cannot hand these hills over to the enemy, and consequently, they suffer the contradiction between their anti-Jewish, that is, anti-Jewish philosophy, and their sober assessment that true retreat would be suicidal. And we will get started after the following message from Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind,
every Thursday.
Shalom le Yehudim, shalom le Bnei Noach, shalom le Goyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio program named for the book of the same name that guts this generation's kosher way of hating Jews for having stolen Palestine from the allegedly historic Palestinian nation, and never mind, history contains no evidence there ever was such a nation. It's the second day, Tes B'Kislev, Parashas Vayechi, Tavshinayin Tes, 5779, the first day, Monday, 17 December 2018, podcasting from Messianic Israel, the creation of Messianic post-religious socialist Jews who thought that if they stopped acting like believing Jews, the world would stop hating us. What they did not factor in was the possibility that the Gentiles, the Goyim, would not let us shed our religious identity because the heart and soul of Jewish identity is this people's religion. Which truth the socialist Zionists and anti-Zionists alike wanted to change. They wanted the Jews to cast off their chosenness by becoming a normal people, a normal nation. With my own eyes, in 1993, I saw on television in the States Shimon Peres say that the purpose of Zionism is to, quote, normalize the existence of the Jewish people, which can have only one meaning, and becoming like post-Christian Europeans who, in the Enlightenment, cast off their belief in Christianity. Read 18th-century French philosopher Voltaire on Christianity. Read 19th-century German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche and his violent trashing of belief in that religion. Powerful stuff. And eventually, with the emancipation of the Jews, giving them citizenship in European countries in that period, there would be post-religious Jews, intellectuals, who thought that if the Jews do as the Gentiles, drop their religion, people will stop hating and persecuting them. Jews have to drop really all aspects of being Jewish that keep them apart. So there was an Israeli foreign minister then, less than a year in office, in an interview on public broadcasting, PBS, crusading for the normalization of the Jews, which in practice can only mean no longer being set apart by their religion. This was the same Shimon Peres who in his youth wooed future wife Sonia by reading to her not love poetry, but from Das Kapital by Karl Marx, which he thought was the greatest book ever. He thought Karl Marx a genius. Marx was the one who said religion is the opiate of the masses, and Jewishness the worst religion of them all. Today there are many Israelis who believe, like socialist Shimon Peres, that anti-Semitism is triggered by the Jews themselves, by calling themselves a chosen people, refusing to eat in a Gentile's house. The Jews bring on the hostility by acting like their forebear Joseph, whom we read about yesterday in the weekly Sabbath Torah reading and cried at the emotional climax, as we do every year. Joseph had held himself aloof from his brothers as someone special. And of course, the brothers resented his holier-than-thou airs, and their father did not help matters by giving him a garment that no other brother received, in effect bestowing upon him an adumbration of the future high priest's robes in the temple 7 centuries in the future. Joseph had a hand in making bad relations with his brothers worse by telling them a dream, a prophecy that would indeed come true. Joseph is the archetype of the Jewish nation, a kingdom of priests set apart from the laity of world population, serving the one true God as no other people serves him, and for this we are reviled and envied. Anti-Jew Jews and Gentiles alike sneer and insist that if we are hated in every generation everywhere, that's because we must be doing something wrong. But what is wrong with this view is, this is the Israeli view, is that Jew hatred in every generation has never been based on anything that we do or even believe. The accusations and pretexts for homicidal violence commonly derive from delusions about Jews doing evil and commonly being engaged in a vast Jewish conspiracy. To this very day, there are millions of goyim in the world who believe Jews are religiously licensed to kill any Gentile they want for whatever reason. The Jews are taught to hate Gentiles they believe in. They scheme to enslave them all. Jews are basically vampires who, come Passover, must kill a Gentile for his blood, a necessary ingredient in the Passover's unleavened bread. Historically, Jews have rarely, if ever, been persecuted en masse for real crimes, more commonly persecuted for some cockamamie fantasy conspiracy theory. Online, and in less than a minute, you can see evidence of what I'm getting at by going to Amazon Books and search for author Henry Ford, the famous automotive maker, and click on The International Jew. Click the icon to look inside and start reading. Henry Ford was a bosom buddy of Adolf Hitler. Hitler was reported even to have had a picture of Henry Ford on his desk. During Hitler's rise to prominence in Germany in the 1920s, at the same time in the U.S., Henry Ford, the famous automobile manufacturer, published his own newspaper called the Dearborn Independent that served as a platform for articles he wrote about the menace of the Jews. The four volumes called The International Jew are a collection of his articles. And using the Look Inside utility, you can begin reading a sample of his four-volume rant against the Jews, who are an anti-nationalist, international conspiracy bent on amassing all the money in the world and enslaving the world. Adolf Hitler himself constantly used the term International Judentum, international Jewry, which was the same idea. Hitler was so bonkers about Jews, he interpreted World War II as it was happening this way. He saw himself fighting a two-front war, East and West. From the East came the Russians, being sent by the Kremlin, whose Bolsheviks were all Jews. And from the West came the Allies, Great Britain of the Balfour Declaration, and the U.S., whose President Roosevelt in Washington took his marching orders from capitalist Jew bankers on Wall Street. Hitler believed that in reality, there was no such thing as capitalism and its mortal rival, communism. Both were tricks perpetrated by the Jews to control the world and defeat, in particular, the master race. The chosen people was the enemy of the master race. Nazism was the exterminationist endgame of anti-Semitism, a crackpot theory of race invented in the 19th century by post-Christian French and German Jew haters to explain why, even after the post-Christians ceased believing in the divinity of Jesus, which inadvertently lifted the deicide charge against the Jews for killing God in the vernacular, people still hated them. And anti-Semitism was an attempt to continue Jew hatred in another format, legitimize it. The Jews were redefined as not a nation scattered to the four corners of the earth, but a race, when Jews are arguably, for having lived all over the world and accepted converts for thousands of years, we are the most racially mixed nation in the world. Adolf Hitler in the 1930s hated the Jews because we are so racially mixed, a people, he said, that does not care about racial purity. A mongrel people, he said, versus today when enlightened progressive anti-imperialists see in the world's only Jewish state the most racist people on earth.
Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imloch, Leolam
Oh. everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Yeah, the hostility to the Jewish people, this unique and so far the only immortal nation of all the peoples Jews have lived among in history, they're all gone, but we continue. For the Torah is the fountain of eternal youth. The hostility to Jews, commonly expressed in contempt for Jewish nationalism, is something that is routinely sneered at for being indistinguishable, for being cliquish and clannish, exclusivist. An old English Gentile, now ex-friend, told me once in trying to explain anti-Semitism to me, he said, what rubs people the wrong way is that you lot stick together. Yes, we stick together because we like each other. And we rely on each other for mutual self-defense in the face of a seemingly eternal hostility. We also share a love of Jewish thought, values, and way of life. But this is experienced by anti-Jews, like British Jeremy Corbyn, leader of the Labour Party, who is in a class with fellow Brits Roger Waters of Pink Floyd rocking rock music fame, and fellow Brit David Irving, the historian of World War II, who insists the Holocaust never happened, which, by the way, is common wisdom all over the Arab Muslim world. Jeremy Corbyn, as much as he would reject the comparison, is a soul brother of Louis Farrakhan and Barack Obama, who keeps that side of himself hidden from public view. Jeremy Corbyn has resisted the internationally agreed definition of anti-Semitism in our time because it includes calling Zionism a form of racism as anti-Semitic. Calling Zionism a form of racism was the language of the UN's infamous resolution 1975. Corbyn resists being told he cannot publicly call Israel a racist apartheid state, which is another delusion on a par with any of Hitler's delusions. Apartheid was the system in South Africa from 1948 to 1998 that regulated life according to the color of a person's skin. Every national identity card noted the skin color of the bearer, white, black, or mixed. That was apartheid. And there's not one law in Israel about anybody's skin color. Every year now in colleges, the left holds Israel Apartheid Weeks. When there's no apartheid in Israel. These people are delusional. It's considered anti-Semitic to call the Zionist state racist because, like all anti-Jew delusions in history, there's no basis in truth and reality for the accusation. Telling lies about Jews is the simplest and quite accurate definition of anti-Semitism. And that's why Israel is a racist state group, crowd, are anti-Semites. What Corbyn and others twisted up in their brains about Jews are really opposed to is the very existence of the Jewish nation. So, of course, any expression of Jewish patriotism, nationalism, is abhorrent to such delusional people. Corbyn is as off his rocker about Jews in the present as David Irving about the fate of Jews during World War II. There's something about Jewish patriotic fellow feeling that is different from, say, the oceanic feelings of Americans at international sporting events chanting, USA, USA, or on Memorial Day in ceremonies remembering those who fell in battle for the nation. It's okay for Americans and others to sing the national anthem before a baseball game and applaud themselves afterwards, but for Jews to behave in a similar fashion, they're seen as cliquish and clannish. Anti-Jews, some of them believe the Talmud licenses all Jews to kill any Gentile for any reason, anytime they want. In truth, beneath the delusion of an international conspiracy of Jews scheming to rule the world is a truth, if not in the way these lunatics think. Their version is a complete perversion of what's underneath. We do not conspire together, that's for sure. All we have ever done everywhere is to live according to the commandments, which could be God's plan as a way of having Gentiles come to know the same God we know, the God of Abraham, the kindest man in the world. The antithesis of a leader like Adolf Hitler or Muhammad, the master head chopper. Which brings yours truly to current events. A few days ago, I was in the Givat Shmuel outside of Tel Aviv and saw a billboard plastered with a political text, something like, Bibi, the time has come to divorce ourselves from the Palestinians. And the sponsor of the text was Officers for Israeli Security. And then in one of the weekend newspapers, the same text appeared in a full-page ad, only this time beneath the words were columns of names and ranks of IDF reserve officers supporting this statement. Israeli officers are supposed to be intelligent, and I imagine in their capacity as military officers and in civilian life they are, but these seem to be people who have no knowledge of Israeli history in general and the last 25 years in particular. I caught myself standing in front of that billboard, open-mouthed, at the brainlessness of this political statement. If Israel is to survive, its leaders must wise up and be wiser than these signatories. Here are Israeli Army Reserve officers who want Israel to, quote, divorce itself from the Palestinians when the last 25 years have shown this was attempted and failed. The so-called Oslo peace process was all about divorcing ourselves from the so-called Palestinians, whom the post-religious leftists in charge at the time imagined are nationalists and patriotic, for their people, just like Israelis. They have the same desires in life for peace and prosperity in their own state, and never mind that the Arab Middle East, even without Israel, was never at peace. They're always fighting. Today they're killing each other in Syria, in Iraq, Yemen, Libya. This is nothing new. This is a political ad called for divorce, which was more or less what the commune-raised former Prime Minister and atheist Ehud Barak campaigned on 20 years ago. His slogan was, "We here, they there." He waved the banner of a real physical separation of the two peoples. In his mind, these peoples are Israelis and Palestinians, not Muslims and Jews. And one doubts to this day if Ehud Barak has ever learned why his offer for a deal like that at Camp David in 2000 failed to get Yasser Arafat to make peace. What these de-Judaized products of anti-religious socialism like Barak cannot see is that the Arabs are not like us. They're very different. It is going in Ramla, outside of Tel Aviv, in the Arab section, three men were shot dead in a gang war. No, I must correct myself, really a clan war, meaning gangs of blood relations. Ehud Barak and even today's Israeli elite secularists like these IDF officers think this way. The IDF, the Israeli Army, is an institution dominated since its inception by the left, specifically the communards, the denizens of the kibbutzim, the communes, and the moshavim, the collective villages. I don't think these collectivists, certainly the kibbutzniks in their communes, ever constituted more than 5% of the population here, but they were the ruling class in the government, the National Labor Organization, the Histadrut, and the officer corps in the IDF. You may remember on Holocaust Remembrance Day in Israel in 2017, when Deputy Chief of Staff Yair Golan caused a scandal when he insinuated that Israel was tending to Nazism, whose subliminal message was really textbook socialist Zionism. Underneath, he was saying, "We are not the chosen people, we're just like everybody else. And if it happened in Germany, it can happen here." This is the IDF, and this is the mental culture of all of these signatories, these reserve officers, to this statement, insinuating that the Prime Minister has it in his power to hand over Judea and Samaria to the so-called Palestinians so they can have their state and become our friendly neighbors. These officers have no sense of history, and they are simply not thinking. First of all, there's nothing Palestinian about these people, these Arabs, these Muslims, who have never been interested in compromise and peace.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
So this political statement by these peacenik IDF officers is therefore largely not a political statement so much as virtue signaling. They don't like it that the IDF has to police Judea and Samaria, particularly these days with yet another flare-up in Ishmael's chronic appetite for Jewish blood. But that is our reality. Even if we were somewhat larger in area than we are with the money to dispossess a 500,000 fellow Jews from their homes and install them someplace else in the country, this is how the enemy envisions the so-called two-state solution. This still would return the Arabs to having the Israeli parliament within small arms fire range, which was the situation before the Six-Day War. Only this time there would be no King Hussein in charge, a relatively civilized fellow, but the Muslim Brotherhood, that is Hamas. Those barbarians in Gaza who shoot rockets into our homes and streets but are never charged by the United Nations with war crimes. These officers are simply not thinking. Their political opinion is a statement divorcing themselves from Israelis who want to keep Judea and Samaria and even an exit, which types like these officers associate with religious settlers when they themselves are anti-religious. And because they are, they chronically misperceive and misdescribe our relationship to the enemy, these sons of Ishmael, and their anti-Jew backers in the post-Christian West. Yesterday, the Jerusalem Post website posted a Reuters photo. You've seen one like this a million times of an Arab youth in jeans, a T-shirt, running shoes, his head and face wrapped in a keffiyeh, as he twirled his slingshot, loaded with a rock, with the following caption, close quote, "A Palestinian uses a sling to hurl stones during clashes with Israeli troops near the Jewish settlement of Beit El, near Ramallah, in the Israeli-occupied West Bank," on Friday, December 14, 2018. And there's a photo credit. And in the body of the opinion piece underneath this photograph and caption is the article by their prolific Seth Frank, who used the terms Palestinians and West Bank and Palestinian demonstrators. He wrote of demonstrators hurling stones and setting fires. Sorry, but I've participated in political demonstrations in my lifetime, and never one rock was thrown because it was a demonstration supporting a cause, a political idea, an issue. So a boy with a sling that is capable of killing is not a demonstrator. He's a rioter and potentially a would-be assassin, a Jew killer in the making, possibly. The Jerusalem Post, like the MSM in Israel, calls Judea and Samaria the West Bank, which is using the vocabulary of the enemy, using his lexicon to shape the perception of the conflict here. Israelis like these are the same who think that respecting the so-called Palestinians and their alleged rights to a state will transform them into friendly neighbors. It's a consequence of the same Israeli inclination to believe that the hostility directed at us is at least partially our own fault. When I say the charges in every generation against us have always been surreal and unhinged, and detached from reality. The invention of Reform Judaism 2 centuries ago, and Herzl, father of modern Zionism, was a Reform Jew, they produced a determined effort at de-Judaizing one's Jewish identity. Reform Jews would no longer separate themselves from German society via keeping kosher their dietary regime. They would move the Sabbath to Sunday, and not even observe the Sabbath in any serious way. Hearts of the Reformed Jew led followers toward Israel to bring it back to life for people of Jewish extraction like himself, but not to create a Jewish state, meaning a religious community. And so Israel, dominated by the socialist left that led the Jewish community here, the Yishuv, into statehood in 1948 and ruled for three decades, they produced Israelis, a culture who lack the capacity to understand our enemies, who have never really seen us as Israelis. The Zionist entity remains the preferred way of referring to Israel among them, meaning the entity of the Jews who have rebelled against their eternal place in a Muslim-majority community. These post-religious Jews may think, the Palestinians, as they call them, don't think of them as Jews because they're not religious, but of course they do. What the mainstream de-religionized Israeli Jew cannot see is that the enemy is not a Palestinian. They are not Palestinians as they pretend to be. And there's no national polity there. Israelis who believe in that, ironically, have turned into your own worst nightmare. The worst thing for a de-Judaized Israeli is to be a fryer, a sucker, a sap, but that is exactly what the typical Israeli does when he thinks we can somehow make peace with these Palestinians. Well, so much for the deathless Israeli quest for love of the Arab Muslims, when that must wait for the arrival of Moshiach, I think, the Messiah, that they don't believe in. As we turn at this moment to an event in the United States that is so momentous, it cannot be ignored. I truly believe it is a major turning point in the history of the United States of America, and by extension, all of Judeo-Christian Western civilization. What I'm referring to is another symptom of the impending collapse of the American Republic. Not that I think it's imminent. Victor Davis Hanson, the classicist, has written that Rome's decline took centuries to play out. Still, I imagine future historians will take note that just this week, the Boy Scouts of America have filed for bankruptcy. And why? Because the Scouts recently lifted their bar against sodomites as scoutmasters, and of course, intolerance of the behavior among Scouts themselves. They changed all that and destroyed the operation. They gave in to the accusation as well that the Boy Scouts was inherently sexist for barring girls. So the organization invited them in and dropped the word boy, rebranding themselves as Scouts of America or something like that. One community after another that had an affiliation with the Boy Scouts has canceled. The kind of parents who in the past cherished the Scouts for its old-fashioned classical American virtues and views no longer wanted to see their sons go to this born-again Scouts America group, certainly not when one could no longer feel confident that the boy's scoutmaster in the tent would not be a predatory sodomite like so many Catholic priests. In short, the societal embrace of homosexuality over the last half century and its attendant perversions like the fantasy of transgenderism is what seems to have done in this most American of institutions. It's a destructive force and another symptom of an American culture that seems to be decomposing. The liquidation of the Boy Scouts of America marks the end of an era. The 20th century, which was the American century, the America of Norman Rockwell, the century of the greatest generation. What a pity. Okay, that's it for today. And FYI, I will be in the States in late March for about a month in a synagogue, church, campus group interested in a visit and talk by yours truly. You can contact me, email at SBT, my initials, at dprogramprogram.com. And if anyone wants to sample the merchandise, so to speak, they can see me speaking in several YouTube videos. There's also my book, Phantom Nation, which someone said must be read by every Jewish college student in the English-speaking countries, that will immunize him and her from thinking about Israel in a negative way. The book is available online at GiffenPublishing.com or Amazon.com in hardcover or a Kindle ebook. This week's music was provided by Yossi Azulai and the wonderful Simply Tzfat group. And we end, as usual, with Yosef Karduner. Until next time, I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar, I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.